to be a dreamer. And for once, it's not dreams like when you're sleeping. I'm not talking about that, okay? So every time I say dream, I'm actually talking about aspiration of the heart, longings, those kind of dreams, okay? I just don't want to get through the whole hour. And at the end, she didn't really tell me how to discern my dreams at night at all. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you dreaming with God. Do you know that God made you to be a dreamer? He made you to be a dreamer. And actually, Psalm 34 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he rescues those whose spirits are crushed." And I felt like the Lord said that this morning, there are some of you that have had a crushed spirit, and you have been unable to really dream the dreams of God for your life because of disappointment, because of circumstances, because of hopelessness, whatever it is. There's some of you that there's at least areas of your life that you have not been able to really go there with the Lord in the place of dreaming. And the Lord says he's close to the brokenhearted and he rescues those with a crushed spirit. And this morning, I'm believing that there will be no person that leaves this place with a crushed spirit. That God will come in through the power of his word and through this ministry of the Spirit, and he's going to bind up the crushed spirits today. And we're going to go out full of the dreams of God. And with the lid taken off of our life, going, wow, God's actually for me. He actually likes my ideas. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to give you plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." He created mankind to be dreamers. He created us to be creative. I mean, what did he brought Adam right away? He created Adam in his image, and then he brought all the animals before him. And he said, "What do you think this one should be named?" I mean, how creative. What kind of person was Adam that he could come up with a name for every single animal on the face of the earth? And we know because of archaeology and such that we have way less animals on the earth now, different kinds, than there was back then. We're finding fossils of new kinds of creatures all the time. In other words, he was a genius, a creative dreamer, co-laborer with God, because that's who he was created to be. And that's who you're created to be. The Lord made mankind to be problem solvers, beauty creators, music makers, portrait painters, money producers, people developers. He made you to be business growers, kingdom expanders. Do you know what I was thinking about this week? I was thinking about something crazy. I was thinking about how we actually put a man on the moon. Now, we're really used to that, right? July 20th, 1969, Neil Armstrong took the first step on the moon. And the dreams of thousands and millions of little boys for centuries were fulfilled in that moment. And girls, I'm not, oh, girls, you can be astronauts too. Just ask Gracie McKinley. She's going to be one. It's my niece. And I was thinking about how that was that culmination of dreams, of dreamers, dreaming. How could we get a space shuttle through an atmosphere that you're supposed to burn up when you go through that atmosphere? You understand, like, that's impossible. And when you come back in, you have to go at a certain angle, at a certain speed, or else you literally disintegrate. And we, because God created, it's just one little example, he created mankind to be problem solvers, to be a dream fulfiller. Somebody at some point said, "I think there's a way to get an object, first of all, to fly." Remember those guys, the Wright brothers? That's another thing. Do you know that when we go to Europe, we fly through the air? No, I'm not joking. I'm not making that up. We actually get in this big, heavy device. It's really, really heavy, like tons and tons. And it rolls on the ground until it gets fast enough and then just takes off into the air. And if I would have told you that 300 years ago, you would have said, you're lying. And I fly over the ocean and I drink soda and eat peanuts as I fly in a plane. And in what used to take 6 months, 2 years to travel across the other side, in 12, 14 exhausting hours, I'm there. And I'm complaining because it took so long. There's a point to what I'm saying. That's impossible. Like to our natural mind, you know, there was a time when that would have been impossible. But God breathed his character into mankind, even those that aren't believers. And he said, I want you to be dreamers. There's some problems I want you to solve. There's people I want you to develop. There's paintings I want you to paint. There's music I want you to make. And those things come forth because God's creative nature, his dreaming nature, is put into the heart of the people on this earth. And if you've ever traveled to a war-torn, governmentally oppressed nation, you will see what it's like for a people who can't dream anymore. You travel to a Rwanda right after it's been devastated. And people don't even hardly have enough hope to dream for the next meal, let alone how to solve problems. And you will see the most depressed, crushed people. And in that moment, I think when you look into their eyes, you'll see how important it is that we never stop dreaming, that we always stay in this place with God, where we are part of the solution, where we are dreaming with him over what he desires to do in the earth, because he created us to be alive in that place. So much fruitfulness, so much fruitfulness. And this is what I like to think about this as you're thinking about the dreams of your own life, the dreams God that you want to, things you want to go after, some of them very, very spiritual, some of your dreams are more natural, we would consider. It's like this. It's not just like this. It is this. If you're born again, you belong to a family. Welcome to the family. You got a papa, Father God in heaven. And guess what? In our family, our little family of four, I care, Jeff and I both as parents, we care so deeply about the dreams of our children's hearts. I just love what they're interested in. Malachi, he's a hunter. He's a fisherman. His favorite thing to do is to talk to me about guns and scopes. I didn't come out of the womb thinking about guns and scopes and fishing gear. However, I am glad that he wants to talk to me about that. I am interested in that. And when it came time and he saved enough money, I was cheering him on to get his next gun. And then we said, you know what? Let's surprise him and buy the scope for his birthday. You know why? Because I care about my son's dreams. Abigail, she's into fashion. She's into basketball. She likes to paint her nails. So guess what? At Christmas time, what her stocking is full of? Fake nails, nail polish, hair things. Why? Because I love what she loves. Because I love her. And in a healthy family, parents nurture the dreams of their children. If this is true in a healthy earthly family, that the best of us are broken, right? What is it like when you belong to the family of God? What is it like when Father God is your daddy? Do you think he cares about the things that you love? Yes, that's right. Thank you, whoever said that. Do you think he cares about the dreams of your heart? Father God is invested in your dreams because he's invested in you. And there's another part of that. See, we joined the family, and now we're part of the family business. And Father God really cares about our dreams, and we really care about his dreams. And in a healthy family, all of a sudden you're like, there's a family business going on. He's growing a kingdom. And I'm invested in this kingdom because I'm part of the family. I'm like part inheritance. I have an inheritance. I'm part owner in it even. So I want to share with you just, I think, first of all, a person in the Bible who I think was a perfect example of, he was the dreamer of all dreamers. This guy had his head in the clouds all the time, and he knew how to take a dream and to fulfill it. And God loved him for it. And this man was King David. And I feel like we can look at David's life and we can see a few foundations for what makes, I guess, brings us boundaries of safety within our dreaming. Because sometimes some of us, we feel like we can't dream because we're afraid. Oh, I'm afraid I'm just going to be selfish. I'm dreaming all my own dreams or whatever. First of all, God really cares about things like, he does care about what house you want to live in, places you dream about going, you know, those kind of things. Those are legitimate dreams. But the majority of our dreams, I'm just going to say this, the majority of my dreams are spiritual. Majority of my dreams are about fulfilling, you know, expanding God's kingdom, winning souls, growing a church, like glorifying him on the earth. Let's look at David. You can, this might be on your sheet. You just look it up later. This is like, you know, it's in First Chronicles, and you know how those stories are. They're just like full chapters, and so we're not going to read them, but I want to summarize them. In 1 Chronicles 17 and 22, we see the account of David. David's been dreaming. David has been dreaming about how to bless God. Isn't that amazing? He's dreaming about how to inspire a nation to worship the Lord even more. And, you know, I don't know what that looked like. I don't know if he was taking long walks. I don't know if he was going to, you know, if he was spending time at the tent, you know, Moses' tabernacle there. I don't know, but he was dreaming about this so much that finally one day he says, I'm going to call a prophet in. I'm going to tell him my idea because I got to know, does God like this idea that I have? And so he calls in the prophet Nathan and he says, Nathan, look at this. I'm living in a palace. And my God has a tent. And he says, and I want to build him something like nobody's ever built him. And I want it to be so great. And I want to, from my own personal treasury, I want to hire worshipers and musicians to just stand there and worship God. Not 1 hour a day, not 2 hours a day, but 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year without ending. I want to fund it. What do you think God thinks about that? And Nathan says, do whatever's in your heart to do. Well, then Nathan goes back and he's before the Lord and the Lord gives him a word. And this is what the word is. I just love this. There's two parts to the word. One is, well, the first part is, you know, the Lord says to Nathan, tell David, I never asked for a building. Heaven's my throne, earth's my footstool. I never asked for a building. I mean, I don't really need a building. However, since you, this is what the word is, since you have set your dreams on building my house, I am now going to set my power on building your house. And the Lord looks at David and says, I love your heart so much. I love your dream so much. I'm telling you, never for the rest of eternity will there not be a descendant of David on the throne. And ultimate fulfillment was in Jesus Christ, the descendant of David, who is on the throne and will never be dethroned for all eternity. Do you know how beautiful it is when the people of God start dreaming? Do you know the blessings that are released over us when we start saying, God, I just dream in the dreams of the Lord about how I can use my particular gift mix, because we're all unique, to bless your name. And then the second part of that word was, David, you can't do it because you shed too much blood, but you're going to have a son named Solomon, and he's going to do everything that is in your heart, every dream, he's going to do it. And David spent the last part, the vast energy of the last part of his life bringing together extravagant materials for Solomon to be able to build the temple. And we call it the Tabernacle of David. And whenever you hear a prayer ministry saying, we just want to go 24/7, we just want to worship him 24/7, they're pointing back to the dream of David. That's how powerful that thing is. It's still resonating in our hearts. God, we want to give you a continual offering, a continual offering. This is what David did. He cultivated a heart of worship. And in that place of a heart of worship, the dreams came forth and the Lord poured out his spirit. And the second thing David knew how to do is he knew how to seek God's kingdom first and the dreams of God's heart. And the scripture says, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all of these other things will be added unto you. And David was a master at getting God first. And we see a supernatural blessing resting on him and his family line because of it. All right. Are you guys feeling it? You want a dream? I do. I want to convince you that you need to go after dreaming with God. So I'm going to give you 5 values of dreaming with the Lord. These are on your sheet. You can fill them in if you want to. A few blanks there. Dreaming turns our hearts toward God and his greatness and ability. There's something about when you start engaging your heart with the Lord and you start dreaming about things that are bigger than yourself. It literally turns your heart to the Lord, and you're in this place where you're like, you're so great, only you could do that. That's so good for you. That's so good for me. We need things in our life that are bigger than our own abilities. We need to have things we're going for in the Lord that we can't do in our own strength. And so when you begin to turn your heart towards the Lord, it's like his greatness, his ability is highlighted. 2, dreaming causes you to look ahead in life. Very few people dream about the past. Well, there are some dreamers about the good old days or something. But I'll tell you, you can't walk forward looking backwards. It's very difficult. And generally speaking, when we begin in our life just to look backwards, look at the past, look at the regrets, even just focusing on the glory of the old days, you know what I'm saying? I mean, get your strength from that, but you can't move forward while looking back. But when the Lord takes the lid off your life and you begin to dream with the Lord, you can't dream without looking forward. And there's something about this. This is a principle in the kingdom. In the kingdom, everything moves forward. Even that scripture in Luke, you remember Luke 9:62, where it says, the Lord tells someone, no one who puts their hand to the plow and turns back is even worthy of the kingdom. You just don't get into the kingdom and say, oh, maybe I don't want to be in it. No. Everything moves forward in the kingdom. The kingdom is a kingdom of dreams. 3, dreaming propels us into forward motion. Number 4, dreaming moves us into a place of co-laboring with God. You start dreaming about what you want your family to look like, what you want your ministry to look like, what you want your school to look like, what you want your city to look like, what you want your business to look like. And at some point, you get to a place where you're like, I can't do this in my own strength. So now I got to co-labor with the Lord. I have to consciously join with the Lord and let his power move in and through me. Dreaming moves us into a place of co-labor. Dreaming also causes worship and faith to pour forth from us. I tell you about 10 years ago or so, the Lord started speaking to me about drawing a state together in prayer. That was so impossible. Like, I didn't know anybody. We had no connections with anybody in the state, like, except for River Center Church. We were not part of a denomination. At that time, we just didn't have, River Center Church was relatively new. We were there for 3 years, and then they thrust us out here to plant the church here. So it's like, we just didn't have like a network of friends in the state. And when the Lord said, I want you to begin to call a state to prayer, there wasn't anybody in the state I could call to prayer. I'm like, okay, Lord, I mean, that is so much bigger than I don't have a way to do that, but I want to do that. And it's a dream in my heart. It's possessing me. The dream is possessing me. I want to do this, Jesus, which causes you what? To call out on the Lord, causes you to co-labor with Jesus. It causes you to be in this place. I need you so much, right? And then gradually, step by step, as we would say, okay, we're going to call a statewide prayer meeting. And maybe one person from outside of the city of Huron would show up, and we're like, whoa, it's statewide. Yes, baby. We're doing it. We're doing it. Fish and loaves, guys. Fish and loaves. You just give them your fish and loaves. That's all that matters. But gradually, as the Lord just supernaturally then, in one day, he connected us to the state. Really, it was one day. I could tell you the day. At the Crossroads Hotel over here, when I taught my first dream seminar ever. And somehow this group in Sioux Falls got the email, organized like a 15-passenger van, and like the statewide prayer leaders from Sioux Falls all came to that, and instantly our hearts were connected and we were running together. And then when I call a statewide prayer gathering, like, people come, you know, there's people to come. So Pastor Dallas came to me, like, I'd been doing that for a couple years, but not very connected still, you know, still in that first portion I was telling you where we weren't super connected, didn't know very many people, but we're doing this prayer thing, and we're doing the statewide prayer thing. And Pastor Dallas says, you know, I think we had done some half days of prayer in Pierre where we did like, you know, 6 hours of prayer. That was a huge stretch. We'd bring our people down to Pierre and we'd get all the connections we had there and try to get them together. And anyway, and Pastor Dallas says, I think we're ready to go. What about we go in 24 hours? I said, 24 hours with a CD going? I mean, I could sit in the room for 24 hours. You and I will be there. And he's like, no, I think we could do it. I want live worship bands. Let's believe God for that. And I said, I got one from our church we can bring. And you got one. I mean, it was like, I did not at first even have the faith for it. Like, I was like, I want that. It's the dream. And the Lord brings Chris Bruce. Some of you know the Bruce family at that time. And Dallas calls Chris and says, Chris, can you help? And he just happened to know like worship teams from Rapid City and Sioux Falls. And they'd lived in a lot of different places. And we went 24 hours for the first time. That was maybe 7 years ago. And I remember in the last hour, talking about dreaming causes worship and faith to pour from you. I remember we were at hour number 23, and Sarah McKinley and her worship team got up there, and this joy came on me. I was like dancing at the back of the church. I was like, God, you did it. You did it. You did it. It was impossible. You did it. You did it. You did it. And now we've had like 7 years straight of doing it. We have so many teams now, we have to break it into 1 hour sets sometimes. And this year, Chad didn't get a set. He was really late and saying that he could do it. And I was like, there's no place for Chad's. It's like, they're all full. I was like, dreaming with God causes worship and faith to pour out of your heart because there's just something about a dream fulfilled. Scripture says it's a tree of life. Scripture says it's a tree of life, that hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream or a longing fulfilled, it's a tree of life. There's something about it that life gives more life, and then all of a sudden you have faith for the next dream. So I want to give you some guidelines for dreaming with God. Kind of some ushers or people who want to usher. Gabe, do you want to help me? Could you? Gabe, I would love for these to be passed out to the middle. Oh, here you go. Actually, Dorian, awesome. You can do this section. All right, if you're an adult, a teenager, a middle schooler, or a grade school student, 8 or above, I want you to have one of these. If there's enough, the younger kids can have them too. But in case there's not, instead of them being coloring sheets, I wanted them. But if you can write sentences, you know, I want you to have one. Because we have some 8-year-olds and 9-year-olds in here that they have some dreams from the Lord. Little evangelists and lights to their city. I didn't hand these out to begin with because I was afraid you guys were going to fill this out the whole time and not listen to me. So, are you ready for the lid to be taken off your life? It's about ready to happen. It's about ready to happen. Explosions. So maybe about 10 years ago or so, Jeff and I went to a pastor's conference. A guy got up and talked about dreaming with the Lord. And he said, I want you guys to make 100 dreams for your life. Here you go, Winty. And then he said, I'm going to give you about 10 minutes here to start writing down dreams for your life. And he gave me some guidelines. I'm going to give you some guidelines in a second. And I started writing down. Jeff and I, like I said, we were at this pastor's kind of leaders conference. It was in California. And I started writing down, and something broke like a river inside of me. And in probably 5-10 minutes, I maybe had 40 dreams written down. I was writing as hard as I could. I didn't hear another word the guy said. In fact, I left the session just to go dream more with the Lord. And there was something that just began to like unleash as I began to say, and this, and this, and this. And as I began to give expression to things that God had put in my heart, something changed. Really. Something was released, and I believe that's going to happen this morning through this exercise, but also just through the hearing of the message today. Like some of you are connecting with this in a way that you're deciding you can dream again. Or maybe for the first time, you know? So I'm going to give you some guidelines for dreaming. And then I gave you a little help sheet here with different categories to help get you started. Because some of us, we think that something has to be like, we only can have 1 or 2 dreams for our life. Well, I have a dream too. I don't know, whatever it is, the really huge things. But a lot of our dreams are smaller and they matter too. So here's some guidelines for being a dream fulfiller, right? We want to be a dreamer, but we want to be someone who fulfills the dreams that God puts in our hearts. Number one, articulate the dreams of your heart in writing. You need to write them down. You need to get them out of here, get them out of here onto paper where you can review them, where you can read over them, where you can say them out loud to a trusted friend. I remember the first time I read my dreams to Jeff. Like, this is my soulmate here. There's still such a vulnerability with saying, whoa, this, it's out there now. I want this to happen, you know? So articulate the dreams of your heart in writing. Now listen to this. Each dream needs to be attainable and it needs to be specific. And I'm going to give you some examples. Let's say one of the dreams of your life is to be a woman of God or a man of God. So that's wonderful, but how do you measure that? How do you know if you've attained it? It's not specific enough. So I take that dream of my heart to be a woman of God. And I take it and broke it down into probably 60 dreams. Like, I want to be a woman of faith who sees the sick healed. I want to, you know, and it was like, oh, I got 127 of them here. No, seriously, I do actually. But I would take that desire and say, I want to be a woman who's in the Word of God every single day. That's an aspect of being a woman of God, right? I want to have a vibrant prayer life. I can actually measure that. Am I praying or am I not praying? Do I feel the life of God in my prayer life or don't I? That is attainable. It's measurable, so to speak. I want to be, like, so I can say, well, I want to be a great woman of God. Well, I broke it down to, I want to be a person used in the gift of healing. Is it people getting healed or aren't they? I mean, that's, I can measure that. I can go after that. I can pray for that. So your dreams need to be specific. I'll give you another example. You may say, I have a dream of having a godly family. Awesome. That's a great dream. It's a little broad, right? What do you break it down? You break that one dream into 10 to 20 specific dreams. I have a dream that every one of my children will marry a godly spouse and will raise godly grandchildren. I can measure that one. And under the fear of the Lord, my children will marry godly people. This is a conversation we have very often. You will not have even a crush on someone that does not love the Lord. I am dead serious. And they're so godly. They look for the right things. They look for the right things. So you can set that dream. I want to have a godly family. Well, then let's break it down. I have a dream that each of my children will have their own personal prayer life with the Lord. That's something you can pray for. That's something you can help your children to work towards, right? You can, when they're little, grab their hands before bed and say, now I'm going to pray, now you're going to pray. And then as they get older, you can say, now, before you do your homework, I want you to be reading a chapter of the Bible. That is something you can work towards and help your children work towards, and you can know, is it attained or not? So they need to be specific. Do you have a dream to travel the world? Make it more specific. What countries? List them. And then when you go there on a missions trip, you can say dream fulfilled. The dream wasn't just travel the earth. The dream was travel to Guatemala. And I did that one with the Lord. You know, whatever it is, be specific. Number two, after you've got your list, you're going to go through this and you're going to say specific things you want to do and experience. They can be things that you think are very, very spiritual. They can be things that you don't think are very spiritual. Places you want to go. People you want to meet. Ministry dreams. What are your dreams for ministry? That should be 3 pages long. What are your family dreams? What's your dream about your marriage? Dreams about your spouse? Dream about your siblings? Your extended family? What are your dreams? Specific. Remember, specific, attainable. What are your personal character and inner growth dreams? I'll tell you, one of my dreams when I made this 10 years ago, and I have it highlighted right here, it was one of the first I went after. I said, I want to be a rock emotionally. I want to be an expert at strengthening myself in the Lord in any circumstance, and I want to be a positive person. Those were 3 dreams, and I decided I wanted to go after them all at the same time. And so I wrote those 3 down, and I'll tell you what I did next. You were looking at a rock. No, I've grown it a lot. I've grown in that a ton. And I can see the growth, and that is encouraging, right? So what are your personal character, your inner growth dreams? What's your relationship with God dreams? I really want to go to heaven someday. Like, actually, right now would be fine. I have that as a dream. Jesus, would you please take me to heaven before I die? I want to go there. I am just fascinated by heaven stories. I love it when, you know, people die and go to heaven and they come back to life. That's just awesome. I love it. And I want to be translated. I think that would just be amazing. So these are relationship with God dreams. I really want to do like the Philip thing where all of a sudden, there I am. Woo! I'm going to minister to the eunuch, get him saved, and whoo, I'm out of there again. Wow, what an adventure with God. That happened to Dan Harwell one time. And he was actually translated into a teenage boy's room. It was like in his youth group. And he was praying. All of a sudden, he was standing there over the boy. The boy was sleeping. And he heard, and the young man had been tormented. He heard what the young man was listening to and immediately knew, why is he listening to that? That's why he's being tormented. And then he prayed something. And then he was translated out of there. And when he came back into his house, he said, God, don't you ever do that to me again. I guess it was really freaky. Really. And the next time the boy saw him, he says, were you in my room? And he repented. Anyway, so what are your relationship with God dreams? Spiritual gifts that you want to walk in, intimacy dreams, closeness with the Lord, understanding, revelation. Maybe there's one specific truth of the Bible. You know, I've always wanted to know a lot about the end times. Be specific, okay? What are some legacies that you want to leave behind? What are you dreaming about leaving behind? That's good dream to be thinking about. So after you go through that and you dream with the Lord, then the next thing you do is ask the Lord to highlight which one of your dreams are for you to pursue right now. There will be things on that dreams list that are not for this moment. There'll be things that have been in your heart for a while that just aren't for now. Put them on the list. That's awesome. But now ask the Lord, highlight to me, what are the dreams that you want me to go after right now? I encourage you to at least highlight two. Two to four are great. Maybe you'll have whole categories where you have nothing highlighted. Maybe you have one category, like personal character. The Lord's really highlighting several things to you or whatever. Just be, the Lord will lead you. There'll be certain things that'll jump off the page. And so then you develop an action plan. This is not difficult, guys. Sometimes we think an action plan, oh, that sounds so complicated. You know what an action plan is? Ask the Lord to give you at least one to two things that you can do to move towards that dream. I'm going to give you a great example. Can you guys stand up here, Chad and Winty? Yeah, whole family, that's fine, whatever. How many years ago was the Gathering the Generals conference?
Like 4 years ago.
4 years. 4 years ago. Yeah. 4 years ago, at a Gathering the Generals conference, the Lord spoke to these guys independently. They were different places in the sanctuary, and the Lord spoke to both of them to get completely out of debt. And they only had their house, if I remember right, just the house debt. And so they said, okay, this became a dream of their heart that they pursued for the next 3 or 4 years. Yep. And so they went, they looked at their budget, and Sweet Winter has needed new plumbing in that house for 4 years. And they said, we're not going to do it till we pay off the house. I mean, they put real action to the dream, and they paid off their house last April, right? In like 3.5 or 4 years. Paid, you're looking at a young couple in their, are you 30 yet? Just turned 30? Yeah. Aww. Before she was 30, by 29, she owned her own home. Yeah. That's amazing. You guys sit down. That's awesome. You're okay. So an action plan is you take one dream and you say, Lord, give me one or two things that I can now do to actually move towards this dream. Now, what the enemy and your own flesh are going to say is, oh, this little thing that I'm doing isn't enough. 5 loaves and 2 fish were not enough. Yet, when they were given into the hands of God, they fed 5,000. You have to remember that. You need to be moving towards things that you don't have enough skill for and you don't have enough power for. But what you do have, you give to the Lord, and then he does the rest, right? So ask the Lord for one or two things. I gave you their example. They looked at their budget. They practically looked at, okay, we can put this much money every month towards the mortgage. And then they had to believe God for miracles. Extra money came in. Bonuses came in. They put off house projects, whatever it was, to move towards this goal. I'm going to give you another example because I want you to really understand how to move through this process. I told you that one of my dreams was to become a rock emotionally, okay? And to be able to really be good at encouraging myself in the Lord. This is about 10 years ago, so I said, Lord, how do I move towards this? And the Lord gave me one concrete thing to do. He said, I want you to pray in tongues for 10 minutes a day. And immediately he quickened to me the scripture where Paul says, a man who speaks in tongues strengthens his own spirit. And I feel like the Lord said, I want you to strengthen your spirit by praying in your prayer language. I did that one thing. I would set a timer. because I wasn't accustomed to praying for 10 minutes straight in tongues by myself. I just wasn't. So I actually would set a timer or look at the clock and say, 10 minutes. Because you know, when you pray in the spirit, then things come up in you and you want to intercede for something, or you want to pray for something else. You want to worship. It's like, I am praying in tongues for 10 minutes. I'd pace the floor and pray. Almost immediately, I felt my emotions evening out, and strength, being strengthened. Really and truly, God is so smart. He really knows what it's going to take to strengthen you or to move you into freedom in an area. Just ask him one or two things. And the last thing, take those things the Lord gave you, your action plan, and write it into your schedule. Do you want to be a dream fulfiller? Schedule it into your calendar. You know, they say money is power. Maybe. But time, that's life. You waste your time, you waste your life. You steward your time, you steward your life. So you take the dreams the Lord puts in your heart, those couple little things you're going to do to move towards it, and then you put it into your schedule. Maybe you have a dream to write a book. Well, you know what? Why don't you take an afternoon a week or an afternoon twice a month and write something? I mean, maybe it's going to take you 10 years to finish your book, but you know what? You're going to start it. Then maybe the Lord will give you so much inspiration, it'll just pour forth from you. Whatever the dream is, it needs an action plan, and then it needs to fit into your schedule. And people who take the action and put it into their actual calendar, they move mountains. They move mountains. Now, as you're dreaming with the Lord, I want to tell you three enemies that you're going to face. Three demons that are going to come straight up to you, and they're going to try to shut you down from continuing with dreaming with God. And you just need to know to recognize them. Recognize them in your own emotions. Recognize them when they're literal demons or when they're yourself, whatever it is, so you can shut them down, so you can continue to move forward. So here's the enemies of hope, the enemies of your dreams. Number one is disappointment. Disappointment is when a dream falls apart. For some of us, we've had big dreams fall apart. I mean, big dreams, marriages that are no more, children who went wayward, businesses shut down, you know, you name it. But disappointment comes in when a dream falls apart. I would say there's probably no way to never feel disappointed. But you got to know what to do when that happens, that you got to get before your God and say, Lord, I need you to intervene right now because this is an enemy to my faith, this disappointment is. It's an enemy to my future. And I don't know why that happened. Sometimes we get an answer and sometimes we don't. But disappointment is an enemy of hope. And you have to live in the realm of hope. That's where the life of God is in this place of faith and hope. And when we get into disappointment, then bitterness settles in and just, oh, it's so disgusting. What happens to the human heart? Second enemy of hope, of hope and dreams is discouragement. Discouragement is when a dream is really slow in materializing. We have stood in faith for 12 years for Malachi's healing. Discouragement has been a major enemy of anybody who has had to contend for a long period of time for a dream to be fulfilled. But there's something about powerful about just knowing who your enemies are. You know, when you just know what your enemy is, you can war against it. You say, I'm not going to let this settle in. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. That's basically when it's taking a long time for a dream to be fulfilled. It can be sickening to our heart. But that longing, when it's fulfilled, is a tree of life. The other enemy of hope is depression. When you are consumed by hopelessness because you have your eyes on your circumstances and off the dream giver and the dream fulfiller, Jesus Christ, depression sets in. It's impossible to be locking eyes with the man Christ Jesus and to be hopeless and depressed. He's just so good and so full of life. And almost always when depression sets in, it's because we have lost our gaze on the Lord. There is just eyes off of him. We're surrounded by hopelessness instead. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there's no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. There's just something about waging war on the enemies of disappointment, discouragement, depression, putting your hope in the Lord and getting that dream back again that causes so much life to happen. And when there's a group of people or a person who has no prophetic vision for their life, no dreams anymore, it's just, you just don't have the same zeal for righteousness even, the same zeal for walking in the presence of God. Thank you, Lord. So this is what we're going to do. I want, if you can, to put on some music, worship music, something kind of mellow. And if you need a pen, you can raise your hand and maybe an usher can run and get you a pen. We're going to take about 5 minutes. I want you to pick a category of two that's on that sheet. So you're not going to fill it out completely, obviously. But take a category or two that kind of jumped out on you. And we're going to take 5 minutes in the presence of the Lord for you to begin to spell out some dreams. Don't worry about grammar at this time. Don't worry about, have anyone ever been part of brainstorming sessions? Okay. Just let it flow. Just start writing. It can look crazy. It can feel, you can write something down. What in the world? I can't even believe I wrote that down. Just let it flow. Just let the Holy Spirit flow through you. If we're going to take 5 or 10 minutes, raise your hand if you need a pen. Okay, Dorian, could you run out and get some pens? Or I think they're in a cup out there. I got two. Now, we're not done, guys. So we're going to take this time to do a little dreaming, and then we're going to come back together. And we're going to consecrate ourselves to the Lord and ask him for grace to be dream fulfillers, okay? Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead and just start. I'm going to pray a prayer over you guys, but you just start. Lord, right now, Father, we just declare that you are here to bind up the brokenhearted and you're here to heal the crushed. So anyone who's crushed in spirit today and having a hard time dreaming, we say, Lord, just pour your anointing oil in right now in Jesus' name. And Father, we just release a prophetic flow in the room of dreaming with you. Father, we just say freedom over the people of God in this room to dream the dreams of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
My load again. Take a moment to remember. darkest places, your love carries, your love carries me through all the valleys and the darkest places, your love carries, your love carries me through all the valleys and the darkest places.
About one more minute. Leave it going, just kind of softer. Thank you, Alex. Don't you just feel so many people writing. It's wonderful. I want us to stand up with our dreams in our hands right now. I really encourage you in the next 48 hours to allow yourself some time to dream with the Lord and to write them down. Use the sheet I just gave you. Fill it out. Stretch yourself to ask the Lord one more, Lord, just give me one more until you just got the thing full. My initial goal was to have 100 dreams in my life. I really couldn't stop. I'm about 127. I was just telling Jeff, I got to redo that. That was like 10 years ago. But it's like so many dreams fulfilled. I had this dream, this wild, crazy dream of having a statewide prayer conference called Gathering the Generals. That was one of my dreams 10 years ago. I didn't know how that would happen, but I knew there'd be a day. Praise God. Now it's going to be 5-state region. Gathering the General's Conference. So God is so good. So take those dreams. Let's hold them in our hands right now. Jesus, we just say, Lord, we want to sit before you and we want to hear what your dreams are, Lord. And we want your dreams to be our dreams. We want to give you our 5 loaves and our 2 fish. We want to give you our effort, Lord, and to see what you can do in and through us, Jesus. So right now, we just say, let the lid come off of our life. Let the dreams flow now in Jesus' name. Father, we just ask you to absolutely, like a river, flow through us the dreams of God for our lives. We activate in this room, we activate faith. We break off disappointment. We break off discouragement. We break off depression. And we declare that we put our hope in you and that all those who hope in the Lord will never be put to shame. So, Father, we consecrate our dreams to you and the dreams that are going to come forth in 2018. And we say we serve a God that you can do anything. You can do anything. You can do anything, and you can do anything through anybody. So here we are. Do it through us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's give him a hand clap. Woohoo, Jesus! Oh, you guys are dismissed, and we'll hopefully see you back tonight at 6 o'clock for the Revelation series. We are going to do our very best to have nursery care. So 4 and unders, we're going to do our best to have care for you guys.
Trust you. I know that I can trust you. I know that I